Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It is ESPN Upstate, ESPNUpstate.com, Radio.com app. Willie P here with you. Final half hour of the program. We're taking you all the way up to Monday Night Football. Texans Saints get the night going, followed by the Raiders taking on the Denver Broncos. Doubleheader right here on ESPN Upstate. Hope you're enjoying that this evening and hope you're enjoying the program here. Thanks to Levin Reed for joining us last hour to talk a little bit about the Patriots getting Antonio Brown. We've been talking a little bit today about Ryan Helinski and Jake Bentley. Jared Scott says, regarding Ryan Helinski on Twitter, at Willie P. Style at ESPN Upstate, regarding Helinski, what makes anyone think he'll be more successful when it is one thing to be talented, but being a broken system that wastes talent and doesn't know how to develop said talent? Fifth place in the SEC was best finished ever for USC under Bentley. Of course, we now bring in a man who was at the Gamecock game on Saturday, Mike Yuva, watch Fox Sports, joining us here on ESPN Upstate. What's up, pal? How are you?
Well, Will, I got to start off your show with some breaking news that we just broke about 15 minutes ago.
Oh, no. What's that?
Well, this is some news that Gamecock fans are going to like. I've been told that USC has invited former Gamecock quarterback Steven Garcia back for this Saturday's Alabama game to lead the Gamecock chant. Of course, Garcia is not only the last USC quarterback, but the last SEC East quarterback to beat Bama after his memorable 2010 performance. So Garcia will be back at the Bryce this weekend, leading the Gamecocks with their Gamecock chant.
We're happy about that. Happy about that for SG3, and of course, very, very happy about that. And you know, from the standpoint of the game we saw on Saturday, it was very, very hard for me to gather anything more than Helinski just looks competent. Were you able to gather anything further?
I think the biggest takeaway that I took from the game this weekend, not just about Helinski, but just as a team in general, they did exactly what they needed to do. People can sit back and say, oh, okay, you know, you're playing Charleston Southern. You should be able to put that many points up. You should be able to put this many yards up, this and that. Well, the reality is when you go back into the history of the Gamecocks, especially the last couple of years, you know, I'm not talking about the days when you had Alshon there or Marcus or Connor Shaw. You haven't been able to do this. You haven't been able to physically dominate from start to finish the way the Gamecocks did, especially on the ground. The biggest takeaway I took from Helinski is that he didn't look like he was a freshman out there. I understand, like we said, the competition, they should be able to do that. But for someone to be able to make their first college start a week after finding out that you're going to be the starting quarterback in front of a place that had over 70,000 fans, it was a great moment to be able to see Helinski go out there and deliver, especially making some of those deep throws, because sometimes those young quarterbacks, they just get a little giddy sometimes and they overthrow it. We saw with Bryan Edwards on that second touchdown reception for 60 yards, and that wasn't the case for Helinski.
You know, it's obvious to a lot of people, I think, that Bentley, we knew what he was through 33 games. And I think a lot of the excitement around the program and the fan base exists for just the unknown of Helinski. In your mind, do you feel like Helinski has a higher upside to his career than Bentley reached with his Gamecock career, assuming he's played his last snap for Carolina?
I'm not going to say that based off of just one game. I do believe there's more hype surrounding Helinski than there was when Jake Bentley came in. I mean, you think back 3 years ago, we were playing musical chairs with Brandon McIlwain and Perry Orth, and it took until the game against UMass after the bye week for Jake Bentley to finally get his start. He gave a spark to USC. They were able to go on to play in a bowl game because I think a lot of people expected towards the end of October, all right, well, we can make our holiday plans this year. We're not going to have to worry about going to a bowl game. Bentley comes in. He gives them that lift that they needed, and they were able to go on a nice little run to be able to get those extra practices. Muschamp talks about that all the time. And if you're USC right now, you want to continue to do everything you can because those extra 15 practices are huge for the future, and you can continue to develop. I think when you're talking about Helinski right now, we're going to learn a lot about him this weekend. And what I mean by that is a lot of people are going to expect, oh, it's Alabama. Don't give him any chance. They're not going to be able to win. Look, I want to see what this kid can do, especially once he gets punched in the face. You know, one of my favorite quotes, Mike Tyson, everyone has a game plan until you get punched in the face. What is he going to do once they put pressure on him? What is he going to do once they flush him out of the pocket? Because he's going to be dealing with guys, five, six guys that are five-star, four-star recruits, some of the best players in the country, and they're going to be putting hats on him all day. How is he going to respond? And not just Helinski, it's going to be a big question about how can the offensive line be able to slow down that pass rush. So those are the two big things. If Helinski can look cool, calm, collected this weekend the same way he did last week, I think you start to wonder, is this kid on his way to being one of the most special players we've seen here at USC? And that's just in two games.
Yeah, that's the real hard part. We talk with Mike Yuva, watch Fox Sports here on ESPN Upstate on Straight Up with Sturge. The hard part for me is being able to try and extrapolate any type of positivity based on the competition for the offensive line and for the defense, just because, again, the step up in class this week is extraordinary.
It's going to be night and day. It's going to be night and day, and I think – one thing that we also saw that maybe we wouldn't have seen, I'm not saying if Jake Bentley was out there, but the fact that they had lost to UNC and in which the manner they did, I understand players. Some players, they say they stay away from social media, but let's face it. We live in a world where it's hard to. We live in a world where you could be just walking to class. Everyone has social media around you. They know what people are saying about you, the TVs, the tabloids, everything. What is going on? What are they saying about the Gamecocks? They've heard the noise. They can try to ignore it as much as they can, but you have 100-plus guys in that program. It's very tough to do that. So they understood what was being said about them. They used that energy the right way, and they came out, and they had a historic weekend. Whether it was against an FCS opponent or not, USC had a spark underneath them, and they were able to do that on the ground, rushing for almost 500 yards. You score 72 points. I mean, what they were able to do offensively was tremendous. And we saw much better tackling this past weekend. And that's going to be huge when you play Alabama next week because, you know, I think the Gamecocks match up well in the secondary better against a team like Alabama, like Clemson, because their cornerbacks, to me, they're more of your traditional, hey, lock them down, cover them, and run with them. They have a lot of speed guys, what I like to call as track guys. Not saying they're not physical and can't come up and make tackles, but I think they just match up better. We saw them be able to make some tackles this weekend, and you have to. You cannot give Alabama any second chances, especially on the run plays.
Mike, I'm going to ask you just bluntly, after what we saw against Texas A&M this past weekend for Clemson, is there any need for me to even go to Death Valley again the rest of this year?
I think a lot of people are going to say no. Because they feel like it's going to be a cakewalk, and it should be. It should be. I mean, look at it this way, right? A lot of people, including yours truly, this jabroni on the other side of the line, I told you the Syracuse game was one of the games you should keep an eye on. Well, what happened last week? Cuse got absolutely shellacked against Maryland, and that's one of the reasons why game day isn't going to upstate New York this weekend. So, look, Clemson, they're going to be 24-point favorites this weekend. We know what they're capable of doing. I know some people are saying, okay, Trevor Lawrence, you know, how is he going to bounce back? He's fine. He came out. He was a little rusty in that first game. He managed for a lot of players. That would be just like, you know, a pretty good game. For him, the bar was set so high for him that he underachieved week one. He bounced back. He had a tremendous game this past week. Justin Ross looked great. T. Higgins, who I feel like doesn't get enough credit for the hands that he has. I think he's going to be tremendous one day on the next level. They just have so much talent around them. If they can just stay healthy, this should be a cakewalk this season. I am saying this, though, and people know that have heard me on this airways, I'm not a Gamecock fan. I'm not a Clemson fan. I'm neutral. I want to see both teams do well because I want to mooch and go to a good bowl game. I do believe, though, if USC can get some momentum going, it could actually be a pretty interesting game that last week. I still think Clemson will be able to pull away and be able to win in double digits in the fourth quarter. But I think what we're going to see from Clemson is a pretty easy walk for the next couple weeks.
Yeah, I would put I'd bet the house on them putting half a hundred on Syracuse because they did not look like an impressive bunch in College
nope.
Park this past weekend. Looking at this story that has developed over the last couple of hours here with Josh Belk, and we talked about it in the last hour. Look, I I'm probably willing to give Will Muschamp and the Gamecocks more benefit of the doubt than I am Belk, just because the reputation that precedes Belk isn't the most stark, isn't the most sterling one, and I just don't know if Muschamp is going to stick his neck out for a guy who wasn't even on the two deep out of the spring.
It's just interesting, and it's kind of weird too, because Belk hasn't been not only with the football program, but he hasn't been at USC for 7 months. He left the program, left the team in February, and for some reason, he felt that he needed to be able to voice his thoughts and share what was going through his mind. I don't know exactly who encouraged him to do that, to use YouTube and use that platform to be able to get his message across, but to put a 15-minute video out there, it was just very bizarre, especially the timing of why it's happening now. Now, what I can say is this. We broke this news back in February that Belk was leaving, and what I was told was, according to a source, one of the main reasons why Belk departed from USC was that he was having a hard time getting along with the team. Now, that shouldn't come as a surprise. We saw what Belk did when they played Vanderbilt, when USC played Vanderbilt. He decided to go to a Clemson game instead, and I know that really kind of ruffled some feathers in-house. Well, that's what I was told. Belk comes out later that day, says that it was an injury that prevented him from playing football anymore at USC. Obviously, he comes out last night. He claims that Muschamp said that, look, if you don't do your workouts, even with this back injury that you have, we're going to take your scholarship away. Now, I don't believe that. USC came out today and says that, you know, they have an agreement. When you come in here, you have a four-year scholarship. We can't take that away for medical reasons. We just can't. That's why I find it hard to believe that Belk had an injury, and if he did, that he went through the USC trainers, because there's no way Jeff Delman, the strength and conditioning coach, there's no way Will Muschamp, and there's no way the athletic trainers would risk their reputations, would risk their job for a kid that, you know, no disrespect, but he's not this kid that's like a Jadeveon Clowney. He's not like a Trevor Lawrence. He's not a kid. Why would you risk that? But why would you risk that for anyone? So I spoke with a member of the Gamecocks this morning about Belk's comments, and they just laughed. You know, they said to take a shot at Muschamp with false accusations like this is just weak, and they added that Belk was just never fully bought in, and he never meshed well with the team.
Yeah, and the reputation that preceded him at Clemson was very, very similar, Mike. People who I talked to connected with the Tigers said that, you know, his work ethic was not necessarily the best, and you know, missing workouts. And the fact is, if you're missing workouts for the number one team in the country, I mean, you're going to miss them wherever you go.
And that's the thing. It's like, look, I was telling someone this earlier today at work. I don't like to say, hey, you know, I played college football, because at the end of the day, we're in SEC country. We're in ACC territory. What does a D2 kid know? But I will say this from just my experiences from playing college sports. If you have an issue with an injury, you go to your trainer. The trainer lets the coach know. If you're not going to meetings, if you're skipping workouts, yeah, that's a good way to get the coach pretty pissed off at you. So the fact that, you know, Muschamp called Belk in, which I do believe that happened, like Belk claimed in his video, what I believe is that Belk, after he put on the 50 pounds, which he also claims in the video, USC, and this is just all speculation from my part, Belk needed to lose some weight. USC wanted him to lose some weight. After a while, he realized, you know what, I don't know if I really want to keep going out there doing the extra runs, doing the extra lifts that they're making me do compared to some of the other players, because let's face it, he needs to lose the weight. It happens on every level. It happens in high school. After a while, he decides to skip some workouts. He decides to skip some team meetings. And because of that, Muschamp brings him in. He says, hey, what are you doing? I brought you in here from Clemson. I was giving you another opportunity. What are you doing? And he just didn't like the answer that Muschamp gave. He wanted to be able to do it his way. He didn't want to have to be a backup. He wanted to go in and just play right away. I feel like Belk just didn't have that passion. He just didn't. I mean, he talked about it. He wanted to be a mechanic. I don't know if he was fully bought in to when he got to USC. And eventually, it came out that way because he's no longer with the Gamecocks.
You can see his stuff, of course, on Watch Fox's website. Also, Watch Fox on Twitter. And, of course, find Mike Yuva at Mike_Yuva on Twitter. One of the best newsbreakers in the state when it comes to the TV guys and anybody who is involved in the South Carolina media. Mike Yuva, appreciate the time as always, bud. Thank you.
Oh, thanks for having me on the same day that Levin Reed's on. That's always great.
Hey, man, he said he's going to get in touch with you. So there you go.
We got to make it happen, man. He's busy seeing Brady playing till he's 50, though. So he'll be busy these next couple weeks.
Yeah, I'm a little mad about that. Appreciate it, bud.
Thank you, buddy.
That is, of course, my buddy Mike Yuva. And it's funny. I told him, I joked earlier, that we were not turning into WEEI in Boston. We were not turning into that. Just saying. 844-GSP, ESPN is the phone number. Hey, by the way, we'll give you an update on what happened with the Limestone Saints opening week. They had to go and take on a very tough ranked squad in North Alabama. Their head coach, Brian Turk, joins us next. We'll also tell you what was left on the cutting room floor of what was a very, very packed day on a Monday, ESPN Upstate.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Taking you right up to the start of Monday Night Football in mere moments here on ESPN Upstate. But first, let's get a chat in with the head coach of the Limestone Saints, Brian Turk. His Saints went on the road to West Alabama, falling short 35-18 last weekend. Coach Will Polacek here with you. What were you able to learn from your team's performance in Livingston?
You know, honestly, I was disappointed in the score. I really thought we had a chance to compete with the guys. We left a lot of missed opportunities on the field. But I know this, I left being encouraged by the guys' competition level. They fought to the last snap, and, you know, they gave us great effort. It's just we got to take that effort and competition and really kind of channel it into some, make it more less mental mistakes.
You had to be happy with your offense, at least from a yardage standpoint, 430 yards, but as I understand, you were behind the sticks a bit.
We were. I mean, we battled tough field position all night. Our average starting field position was our own 16-yard line. We had some nice drives here and there, but you know, I told our offense today, yeah, the numbers are great, but even if we have those and lose, it don't mean a whole lot. I take the win with the 100-yard total offense. At the end of the day, the only stat that matters is the win-loss column.
Was it a lot of self-inflicted wounds, that type of stuff?
Well, you know, honestly, we were the least penalized team in the game. We did a good job of not inflicting penalties there. It's just when the big plays were there to be had on critical situations, like down at distances, we were not very good on third down, only converted 27%. Had a big chance for a fourth down conversion in the 2-minute drill, and it couldn't convert. And then, honestly, we had like 3 or 4 interceptions dropped, a couple before we forced some fumbles, couldn't recover. And so the ball was there, and I told our guys over and over again, when you're the hunters like we are, we have to go and take stuff from these teams. This is the top 25 team in the country, and if we want to try to go down to their place and win, we got to take advantage of every open they give us.
We're talking with Brian Turk, head coach of the Limestone Saints here on ESPN Upstate, ESPNUpstate.com, radio.com app. A lot of contributions from underclassmen. Caden Peeler out of Boiling Springs, 6 catches, 79 yards. Malik Brooks, 59 yards rushing, including a 46-yard touchdown run. How important is it going to be for you to get contributions from the underclassmen as this season goes on?
It's going to be huge. We've got a young team, especially offensively. We're a little more senior-heavy on the defense side of the ball. You know, Caden Peeler had a great game, like you mentioned. And Clay Brown is a guy who started his first game, had his first career catch, had 5 catches, 140 yards, and a touchdown. Really proud of those young guys. Juwan Dukes, freshman tight end out of Georgia, had a catch, 15, played the whole game. So we're going to rely on the guys that we put out there. We don't, if you're a freshman or a senior, we're going to put the best 11 on the field. and we'll take our lumps, and we're going to make sure we're doing this thing the right way, growing with people who want to be here and a part of our culture.
The Saints will be back on the reservation this weekend, hosting number 14 West Georgia. I don't know if this falls upon your desk, Turk, but looking at the schedule, two ranked teams have started out. Would you fire the schedule maker if I were you?
You know, it's easy to look at things and make excuses for yourself. We look at it as two great opportunities to showcase our talent. Like I said, it's really easy to spin it in a negative way, and it's our job as coaches to say, look, this is an opportunity to showcase yourself. You get a win against the top 25 team, send some shockwaves around the Southeast, especially Division II football, and that we have a team that's going to be here and competing. And, you know, who knows what happens this Saturday, but I got a lot of faith in our guys. I'm going to bounce back and make some good strides from week one to week two.
Coach Brian Turk, head coach of Limestone, here with us on ESPN Upstate. What do you know about those Wolves?
I know they're very talented, and they had a heck of a year last year. They got knocked out in the playoffs by Wingate, and they're one of four teams on our schedule that made the national playoffs last year, two in our conference, two out-of-conference teams. They are a very good program. We were went and played them last year. They got a beautiful facility. They've got a lot of support from their administration and staff, the community. And, you know, they're a program we want to emulate. They do a great job in recruiting. They really take advantage of the Georgia area. They come to South Carolina every now and then, but very talented quarterback. They've got some great defensive end. The offensive line is young, but very, very talented, athletic. So we're going to have our work cut out for us, but we'll see what we can do Saturday night.
Of course, the Limestone Saints back home with the reservation this weekend. 7 o'clock kick on the 14th Saturday before opening up a conference play the following week at the reservation hosting Tusculum. Coach, thank you so much for the time. Good luck this week.
I appreciate it, man. Go Saints.
That is Coach Brian Turk of the Limestone Saints joining us here on ESPN Upstate. Clacy texts us on the Belk issue at 864, basically saying that he is bringing attention to safety awareness during rehab. Don't get bogged down on the specifics of his fable of fiction. It's a positive message that's from Clay. Another guy comes in and says the Gamecocks didn't take away the scholarship of George Rogers' son, Trey, after he had his spinal issue. I hope Will did not do that. Look, again, I think you have to look at the reputation of the two gentlemen in question here. I think the reputation of Will Muschamp, regardless of what you might think of his coaching ability, I don't think he would necessarily do something of that nature for, again, a guy. It doesn't make a lot of sense. This is a guy who was not even on the two deep in the spring. Like, that part of it has to be put into place. Like, I don't even know if he would have done it for a guy who's even more important, but he definitely wouldn't do it for a guy who wasn't on the two deep in the spring. That's just the way that this works. So, again, I feel for the young man and the fact that it looks like his career was cut short, but it also doesn't necessarily seem like his head was fully in the game anyway. So, from that perspective, better that the two sides go their separate ways. Didn't think that we would get so opposed today, Diesel, on being against people booing college athletes, but you know, that's the way it works.
Yeah, there's a lot of people arguing for booing players, oh, because it happens in sports. Well, sure, it happens in sports, but if any one of those players that went down actually was injured, which one of them was, then Clemson's a fan base that boos injured players.
It's not necessarily what you want. It is a Talking Tuesday tomorrow. Also a CNC Tuesday tomorrow. Colin Taylor, Gamecock Central, Matt Connolly, State Newspaper. Plenty to get to, including the comments of both. Monday Night Football is next. For Diesel, I'm Will. So long, South Carolina.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.